Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Good afternoon, radio friends. We're going to be picking up where we left off yesterday out of John chapter number 9. This is part number 2 of the message. But let's look number 2, the questionable method of this man's healing. Look at this, verse number 6. When he thus spoken, he spat on the ground. That's unusual. And made clay spittle and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Now, if a blind man came in tonight and we was to spit on the ground and we was to try to make the same clay spittle and we was to put it upon his eyes, I don't think it's going to work. This was an unusual method. You could almost say this is not how you receive sight. Though we would say it a lot different ways, but I find that unusual. Then he said this in verse 7. He said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, he's first questioned by the neighbors. Notice this. The neighbors there, therefore, and they said which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, "Is not this he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he," and the others said, "He's like him." But he said, "I am he." And therefore they said unto him, "How were thine eyes open?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and I washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, 'Where is he?' And he said, 'I know not.'" I'm glad that when I don't know where he's at, I'm glad he knows where I'm at. Amen. Thank God tonight. Listen, no doubt the method which Christ used was questionable, even just a little strange, however. He spit on the ground. He made a clay spittle, and then he sent the man to wash it off. In Matthew chapter number 9, Jesus healed 2 blind men, and he simply told, he didn't make a clay spittle in Matthew. No, this is what he did. He simply touched their blinded eyes, and they did see. So why was it so important tonight for him to make this clay spittle for the man that's in this text? I sit back and I read this and I begin to ponder, I begin to read, and never could understand why it was so important until the Lord began to reveal some things to me. God has a specific way that he does things, but he doesn't have to do the same thing every time the same way. Amen. And you say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Well, I got saved in the church. Some of you might have been saved in a car. Some of you may have been saved at the house, in the kitchen. Some of you may have been saved, amen, in the bathtub. Some of you may have been saved, no matter where it was at, when God saved you. I'm glad he still has a saving ability, no matter where you're at. I can see at least 2 reasons for the Lord's use of the clay. Warren Wiersbe said it possibly could have been a picture of the Lord's incarnation. What are you talking about, preacher? And the Bible said over in John chapter number 1, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." I'm talking about God in human fleshly form. You say, preacher, was Jesus, 50% man and 50% God? No, Jesus was 100% man while also being 100% God. Amen. Thank God. You say that's his incarnation. He's God in the flesh. God made the first man out of dust, and God sent his only begotten son as a real man. And there seems to be some emphasis on the place where Christ sent this man to wash in this place called Siloam. If you look back at the text, verse number 4 with me tonight, it says this, "I must work the works of him that sent me." You see that? "While it is day, the night cometh that no man can work." God, no doubt, sent Jesus Christ in a timely fashion. God sent Christ at the appropriate time. It was not our time. It was on God's time. Amen. And while Christ passed by the way of this blind man, can I tell you tonight, he was on time, he wasn't late, he showed up, but then he tells him this. He says, once I've made this clay, you're to go to the pool of Siloam. He sends him there. It's interesting, isn't it? One of the reason for this method, I think, was to demonstrate that Christ was sent by God. And so the first reason for this method of our Lord's use of clay was to bring the blind man to the pool of Siloam. Think about this. It was the man's ailment that caused Jesus to have compassion, but it was also the man's ailment and the clay spittle that causes this man to get up. It was the word of the Lord that said to go. If you'll think about it, God in heaven, before he sent his son Jesus to this world, he knew of a specific time. He knew of a specific place. You say, how do you know that, Mary? How do you know that, preacher? Specific time, specific place, Elizabeth. How do you know that, preacher? John the Baptist. He already had a forerunner in mind before Jesus Christ ever left the portals of glory. I want you to know tonight that Christ is on time. He's specific in all that he does. God sent his only begotten son for your sake and for my sake to help us in our lost condition, in our darkness, in our blindness. He came to heal those that are blind. The second reason for this method, putting this clay upon the eyes, I believe was to develop irritation. You say, what in the world? Preacher, what are you talking about, this irritation? Now, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but maybe there's been a place in your life where you've got something in your eye. Now, when you got that something in your eye, it wasn't very long when that thing began to irritate you that you did something. You said, preacher, what did I do? You ran to the water. I believe that what God did here was for this man was simply this. He caused irritation in his eyes to help him to get to the place where God wanted him to be. Amen. So that he could find the water to which he needed to find to wash and cleanse his eyes so that he might see. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to tell you tonight, amen, that thank God I believe this irritation has to do with the Holy Ghost. You say, what do you mean? While Christ wasn't there in the physical sense, this irritation was. You say, what do you mean? I'm talking about irritation, aggravation. Reminds me of the day that I got saved by the grace of God, amen. I remember that night sitting in the pew at 7 years old, amen, when the night that God began to convict my heart, I stood up, I was scared to death. There was some irritation there. I knew I needed to get somewhere. I needed to do something, but I didn't know exactly what to do. But I tell you this, I remember that night when the Holy Ghost convicted my soul that there was something that I knew I needed to go. I need to get washed by the blood of the Lord. Know what that irritation done? It brought me to irrigation. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I'm trying to tell you tonight, thank God he got me to the water. Somebody said it a long time ago, I can't remember who it was. Somebody said, if you ever realize you're lost and blind and in need of a Savior, boy, it ain't going to be long through that irritation where you get some irrigation, amen. You say, what do you mean? How many ever knows what the convicting power of the Holy Ghost will do in your life? Boy, I tell you, you're talking about feel miserable. You get that stuff in your eyes. You get that clay in your eyes. You get that mess in your eyes. And I can tell you right now, it'll be aggravating and irritating to you. And you'll seek some help. And the Holy Ghost will begin to walk your trail, friend. I tell you what, he'll take you to woodshed more than once. He may take you to woodshed more than once in a day, amen. Can I tell you tonight, I'm thankful. Brother Brad, I'm thankful for the trips, amen, that the Holy Ghost has irritated me and aggravated me over my salvation. I'm thankful, amen, because it brought about a cleansing, amen. It brought me to the water where I could get some help, where I could get some sign. Look at verse number 7. He said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. We've seen two reasons for this questionable method of the Lord's healing. Let's look for just a moment at the response to the Lord's word to go. Verse number 7 said this, he went his way Therefore, and washed, and notice what took place, and came what? Seeing. Friends, you'll never experience the power of God in your life if you don't respond to the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. I was down praying with a lady one time. I was talking to her about her salvation, and I was begging her to come to Christ. She said, "Preacher, there was a time in my life where the Lord was convicting me. The Lord was speaking to my heart." And she said, I put him off. And she said, I just put him off. I just wouldn't surrender. She said, "I just turned a deaf ear. I wouldn't respond." Can I tell you, if you don't respond, you'll always be blind. Had this man stayed where he was at while Jesus put the ointment, while Jesus put the sand, while Jesus put the clay spittle upon his eyes, had he not went, I believe he had still been blind today, amen. Can I tell you, just because you sit in church and just because the Holy Ghost is here, just because you get those waves when the Holy Spirit deals with your heart and deals with your life, just because he's here, can I tell you, that doesn't mean that you're going to get healing. Amen. If you don't respond to that man wooing of the Holy Ghost, you're offending the Holy Ghost. And for this man to not respond to what the Lord had said, this is what had happened. All that Christ had done for him at this moment would have became offensive to the Savior, and he had never received his sight because he didn't follow instructions. Notice, tonight, when this man responded to the word of God in obedience, he then received his sight. Let me give you this third thought. We've seen the questioning concerning this man's condition. We've seen number two, a questionable method concerning this man's condition. But number three, let's look for just a moment at the quarrel. I'm talking about a quarrel, meaning an argument concerning this man's condition. Look at verse number eight. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him and that was blind, said, "Is this not he that sat and begged?" Some said, "This is he," and others said, "He is like him." But he said, "I am he." And therefore he said unto him, "How were thine eyes opened?" And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed, and I received sight." Look at verse 12. "Then said they unto him, 'Where is he?' And he said, 'I know not.'" Now this man received his sight by way of the power of illumination by the Lord. And this man was healed, and now he's facing some problems, and the problems to which he's facing is identification. What are you saying, preacher? I'm talking about he was once identified as being a beggar. He was once identified as being a man who was blind. He was once identified as being the old slum that sit at the gate, right? And everybody looked down upon him, and everybody maybe give charitable donation to him, and everybody seemed to walk by him. And as long as you're begging, and as long as you're blind, the world seems to have no problems with you. But it's when you get a hold of the light of the Lord, and that seems to be when the problem arises, friend. Satan doesn't want you to be blessed. No, as long as he has you blind, and as long as Satan has you broken, and as long as Satan has you beat down, and as long as there's a quarrel in your life, can I tell you, you'll be all right. But as soon as you make a mark, as soon as you make some identification, as soon as you step out and say, "Hey, I tell you what God's done in my life," that's when the quarrel starts. That's when the conflict arises.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at hooperscreekbaptist.com or download our church app, where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.